Blog Talk Radio.
Afternoon and welcome to Finances with Francine and Friends. I'm your host, Francine Allen Humphrey, and as always, it's my pleasure and my delight to be with you. My special guests on this broadcast are Michelle R. Ewing and Kevin A. Green of Five Rings Financial. Hello, Michelle. How are you today?
Michelle, might you have some problems with her microphone?
All right.
Hey, Kevin. Hello, Kevin A. Green of Five Rings Financial. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Great. Thank you for joining me on the broadcast again. Our mission here is to share information, updates, guest highlights, and keep you educated on all things financial. We are here today to talk about a subject that is in the forefront of everybody's mind right now, and if it's not, it should be. We're going to talk about estate planning. But before we do that, I want Michelle to come on and tell us a little bit about herself, and then Kevin, you can follow suit.
All right. See, Kevin be trying to steal my flow. I don't know if y'all noticed that or not. He be trying to take my shine. Yeah, like he know what's going on over here. Just because I'm from Brooklyn and he from Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I repeat, Brooklyn in the house. Okay. My name is
funny.
Michelle Ewing. And, of course, I am originally from Brooklyn, New York, home of Biggie, Jay-Z, and Lil' Kim. Okay, we call all of them. Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead and shout them out, too. All right. I am a retired naval officer. I spent 27 years in the Navy helping to develop and lead people and help them win. So I love helping people to win. I've been with Five Rings Financial for about a year and a half. However, my finance background goes back a little bit further than that. I used to help people with their finances as a junior sailor before I became commissioned, and then ultimately I ended up helping to manage a $1.3 billion budget for military special pays and incentives. So I got a little bit of background in finance, not even close to my homeboy Kevin there. He'd be trying to, you know, show me up, but, you know, I got a little bit of something. But Kevin got the real firepower. But I got people that I ask, including Kevin.
Oh, Francine. She always makes me laugh. My name's Kevin Green. I started off in banking and finance for about 14 years, culminating in my managing a billion-dollar debt and equity portfolio. I left that profession and went on to practice law for over 20 years, and I have now been back in the financial services world for about 2 years now, working at Five Rings Financial. And Michelle, she makes me laugh, but she's great. She's terrific, and she is very experienced and very knowledgeable in her own right.
Well, great. Thank you both so much for being here on the show today. We want to dive right in and talk about estate planning, what people should be doing. I know there's all kinds of things out there online that people can utilize certain tools, but the one thing that we always want to say here is do your research, find out what fits you, and if you're having trouble, please get with a professional. So we're here today to give you some information. So we're talking about estate planning today. So Michelle, most people think of the rich and famous when they hear the word estate. What do everyday people like us need to be talking about when they're discussing estate planning?
Well, we actually need to be talking about our own estate planning, because you don't have to be rich and famous in order to have an estate. I know we think of different times with, you know, you heard about these rich and famous people's, you know, families fighting over these large estates, when they after they passed away. Same thing with Aretha Franklin, and you know, just different things like that. So it's those type of horror stories of people who were wealthy and left behind a whole lot of stuff, and they didn't set things up properly in order to have it passed down. But you don't have to be rich and famous to have an estate. You know, everybody actually has an estate, or everybody can actually have an estate. And that's the reason why all of us need to be talking about estate planning, because we all want to establish and set up an estate. Everyone, my daughter will have an estate by the time she's 18. She's getting ready to have an estate. So she's 18 years old. She don't even have a job yet, but she's going to have an estate. And so just knowing, you'll hear a little bit more about it as we go along, every single person can have an estate, no matter how small or how large, you can have an estate. So that's why we need to be talking about estate planning, because we all have estates.
Absolutely. And with the global pandemic, sending people to the hospital, causing, you know, so many casualties of this coronavirus, we're all being affected by it, whether it is happening to us or we know somebody that is happening to. And so it's up to us as individuals, as Michelle said, to make sure that we get our affairs in order. So, Kevin, what constitutes an estate? And we have a two-part question. And what is an estate plan?
Okay, well, simply put, an estate is your net worth. So it encompasses all of your assets, whether it's land, real estate, your possessions, any financial instruments you might own, like stocks and bonds, any cash that you have access to. All those things constitute your estate. And what an estate plan is you putting down in writing what you want to happen to the different assets that you own during the course of your lifetime. That's basically what an estate plan is and what an estate is.
Okay, great.
I'm just going to add one other thing. Sorry,
sure.
If I can. Like Michelle had said, everybody has an estate. So when I say your assets, it could be something like your family Bible that has been passed down from generation to generation. That has great value to you, and you want to make sure it goes to the proper person once you pass away. That is part of your estate. So when I say your assets, I don't just mean money or like your stocks and bonds, although those things are included in your estate.
Okay, great. We are looking at how we can put a plan together, and some people may not even know where to start. Michelle, what kind of legal documents would we have to have in our estate plan?
Well, I would say to really consult with an attorney on this, but a friend of mine is an attorney, and she talked to my dad for me, and some of the things that she told me that should be included in a comprehensive estate plan, you know, it should be an advance medical directive, okay? That's one thing you want to have. You want your, you know, you want your medical wishes to be followed. You want to have a durable power of attorney, a revocable living trust, an irrevocable life insurance trust. Now, I'm going to pause right there for a minute, because that is actually how my daughter is going to have an estate at 18 years old. My daughter has life insurance, right? She has term and permanent life insurance. So my daughter will be starting out with an estate over $300,000. She's so very young, it's very inexpensive for me to get life insurance on her. And I know some people are like, oh my gosh, why would you put life insurance on a 17 or 18 year old? I don't think we need to look any further than what's happening right now to indicate why I think it's important for me to have life insurance on my child. And the type of life insurance I have for her is called living benefits life insurance. It's the type of life insurance that she doesn't have to die to use. If she gets sick, if she gets injured, or if she has some type of a terminal illness, she is going to be paid tax-free money from that life insurance policy. So if you do not yet have assets that you have built up. You can establish a trust just by getting a life insurance policy on yours. Say if you get a $100,000 life insurance policy, which I advise anyone to get if they possibly can, as young as possible, because it's pennies on the dollar, then you are worth $100,000, and that is your estate. That is your estate. That is what will be paid out as soon as you leave this earth, okay? So $100,000 term life insurance policy, that is, you have an estate that is worth $100,000, okay? The next thing is maybe a family limited partnership or something like that, depending on if you have a family business going on, a premarital or a marital agreement. Some people don't realize that if you do not get a divorce or if you don't have some type of a will in place, if you pass away, your stuff may go to your ex if you didn't bother to get a divorce and different things like that. So, you know, I know with everything that's going on with my family, I'm going to have me a prenup because I'm not letting none of my father's assets go nowhere other than where he wanted to go, okay? That's all I'm going to say about that. So, and then you should have a supplemental or special needs trust. If you have a special needs child, you should have a special needs trust in place or a supplemental to take care of certain people or certain things that you feel need to be taken care of should you leave this earth. And ultimately, finally, most people just think of a will when they think of estate planning. But based on what my friend told me, the will is the last piece out of all of those directives that you need to have. You need to have the will, and that buttons up everything that you have placed inside of your estate plan to make sure things go exactly where you want them to go.
Absolutely, and this is some great information. I know some of the terms some people may have never heard of before, so we want to just break it down a little bit for them, Kevin, and talk about what is the most critical part of your estate plan?
Thank you, Francine. The most critical part can change from person to person. It depends on what your assets are. It depends on what your wishes are. For me personally, out of all the documents that Michelle named, what's the most important to me is the living will, also known as an advanced directive or healthcare directive. Because that's the part of my estate plan that's going to communicate my wishes directly to medical personnel in case of, you know, my end of life decisions. So if I'm in a coma or anything like that, that's my word speaking directly to medical professionals as to what I want done. That is the most important part of my estate plan. Now, I say that because I'm single, I don't have any children, so what's happening to me at the end of my life and the quality of life that I'm leaving at the end is more important to me than where the assets will go after I've passed on, because I don't have any children. I don't have a spouse to leave them to. But that will vary from individual to individual what part they feel is most important. Like Michelle said, sitting down with a professional estate planning attorney where they can lay out all these different options, all these different documents. They can talk to you about your specific wants and needs. From that, you can figure out what's important to you, which are the most ones, which order they need to be done in, and take care of yourself so that your wishes are communicated once you're gone and what you want to happen happens.
This is so great to be able to talk about this today. And again, because of the pandemic, this should be on everybody's mind. And one other thing that I want to say, because of what both of you said about the health, providing for your health, and then Michelle talked about her daughter having an estate. But one of the things that parents don't realize is that once your child turns the age of maturity and you have nothing in place, you may or may not have any legal decision-making authority over them. So you need to talk to an attorney about your estate planning and about your guardianship in certain states. So everyone needs to think about planning for something happens, or if nothing happens and they live to the age of maturity, about the policies, what's going to happen to it then, and all of those good things. So you need to talk to somebody who knows and can give you the answer. And so this is really great. I'm thrilled to be having this conversation today. Michelle, what issues will a comprehensive estate plan address?
Well, I did want to go back to, because I know Kevin said for him it would be, you know, his advanced medical directive. And one of the things I noticed that's one of the most important things that one of the most important decisions that you're going to make about your estate is also who's going to be the one to administer your estate plan after you're gone, right? Who's going to have fiduciary responsibility, you know, and who's going to determine what capacity they serve in? Like, for example, I am going to be – I'm executor of my dad's estate. My brother follows me, and then my daughter follows him. You know, so it's like they're going to either be an executor, a trustee, or agent, you know, when it comes to a power of attorney. And so no matter how well designed your plan is, it can produce poor results if it's poorly managed. So that's going to be one of the vital – aspects that you have to decide about when you are establishing your estate, right? So that's a huge decision. So you need to make sure it's somebody you really, really, truly trust who are going to follow your orders. Now, my dad know I'm following them orders to the T, right? Because I served 27 years in the military. And as far as I'm concerned, no, Dad, this is not my plan. This is your plan. And what I do is I create policy to administer the law. So you going to put down the law, and I'm going to make sure that any policies that come out follow to the letter what you said you wanted as best as possible. And at a minimum, some of the things that a comprehensive estate plan will address is like Kevin said, who will make my healthcare decisions for me when I become disabled? Communicate directly to healthcare professionals exactly what kind of medical care he wants if he's dying and can't make decisions for himself. But Kevin gonna live forever, so we ain't worried about that. Or if he's disabled, you know, how will I pay for my nursing home or long-term care and, you know, support those who depend on me? You know, who do I want to manage my assets and personal affairs if I become disabled, right? Who do I want to settle my affairs and distribute my properties after I'm gone? Who do I want to get my property after I'm gone? Because guess what? If we don't decide, it's decided for us. Do any of my beneficiaries require assistance or protection? How do I minimize my expenses and my taxes? That's that income, probate, and estate taxes. You know, that's where you put things in trust, you know. And what kind of delays happen if I become disabled or die if I didn't put things in there appropriately? You know, when I die, will I have sufficient funds or assets or insurance to pay expenses and taxes resulting from my death? Depending on the value of your estate, there's the death tax, right? It needs to be paid to the state and to the federal government. Do you have enough life insurance to cover those expenses? When we purchase houses, we like to say, oh, I'm leaving a house behind for my kids. Well, if you don't have a mortgage protection plan, if you don't have an insurance policy that is enough to cover that mortgage after you're gone, you're not leaving your children a house. You're leaving your children a mortgage. And oftentimes, if we don't set things up appropriately, they end up losing that house. So we just have to make sure we put the proper things in place to ensure that what we leave behind is actually what we want, you know, that it gets distributed the way we want. And the more detailed we can be with those instructions, trust me, it cuts down on a lot of the infighting. It makes things so much easier for the kids. I told my dad, nope, I need to know to the letter because there ain't going to be nothing to fight about. Because we see right here in black and white what it is that he said he won't. So that's going to just be that. Everybody can just shut it on up, okay? The more clear you are today, the more clear I can be tomorrow. You know what I mean? Because I want it to be exactly the way you want it to be. You built this. You tell me, you tell us how you want it to look, and we're going to make it happen all day, every day. That's what I do. I make it happen.
Great. And we know, and for those who don't know, my professional life, I'm a paralegal, senior paralegal, been a paralegal for over 25 years, and it's been so many times, just what Kevin and Michelle are talking about, that people did not talk to the people in their family. Nobody knew what grandma wanted. Everybody was speculating on what she wanted. It ended up the property goes into probate, they have to go to court. They're fighting. You're spending all this money that you don't have. Or if it's an heir property, that's a whole nother program, Kevin and Michelle, you know, that nobody knows what to do and everybody wants a piece of it. And sometimes I would tell people, if you divide this by 100 and grandma got 100 kids, then all y'all get a dollar, you know. So, you know, you just have to know what you have, how much the assets are worth, who's going to be in charge of it, like Michelle said, who knows where everything is, because that's another important piece when you talk about estate planning. Where are you going to put this powerful information? Who's going to be in charge of it? And somebody besides one person should know where it is. And so, Kevin, it sounds like as once you get your estate plan in place, you're pretty much set, right?
No, you are not. Estate planning documents are living and breathing documents. As your life changes from year to year, you may have to go back and readdress these things that you've put in place to make sure that they're still effective. You may say you want to leave all your assets to your oldest child, and something may happen, your oldest child has passed away. If you don't go back and readdress that and correct that in your documents, now you pass away, what happens to your assets? So they're living, breathing documents. I would recommend reviewing them at least once every year. Put it on your calendar, you know, change over January 1st, you sit down and you review your documents. Tax time of the year, maybe that's when you want to review your documents. I'd recommend and advise at least once a year. If you don't want to do it that often, I'd say at least once every 5 years. And whenever there's a major change in your life, you have a new child, you lost that child, you bought new property, sold property. Every time there's a major change in your life, you need to sit down and address it, no matter how long it's been since the last time you addressed your estate plan. Look at it again. Always think of it as a living, breathing document, and you have to constantly watch it. It's like boiling water. Keep your eyes on it and make sure, you know, it doesn't boil over. But you have to make sure that every time you have a significant change, that change is addressed in your documents. Like Michelle has alluded to, you don't want to leave ambiguity. The more details that you have in your plan, the more, you know, the more chances are what you want to happen is going to happen. If you have, you know, major changes in your life and you haven't incorporated in your plan, well, now what's going to happen? You may have had intentions, you may have had it in your mind, but you didn't have anything down in writing. So always, always, always review your documents on a regular basis. Thank you, Francis, for asking that question.
Yeah, absolutely. And just like you review your estate plan documents, you should also review your insurance plan documents. Because if, let's say, you are married, you get a divorce, and you get remarried, but you never change the beneficiary on the insurance policies. Michelle, tell them what happens when you do that.
Oh, my God. We had that happen in the Navy. I can't tell you how many times. As much as we told them sailors, make sure you update it. We have had ex-wives that ain't spoke today, darn blasted ex-husband in I don't know how long, or ex-husbands that you ain't seen in 15 years, but all of a sudden they come crawling out of the tunnel when they get that phone call saying, guess what? We got $400,000 for you. And your current family member, your current spouse, and your children get nothing. And there's absolutely nothing that can be done about it. Because whoever is designated as the beneficiary, well, that's who the beneficiary is. You know, nobody can do anything about that. So as soon as there is a change in your life, you need to change the beneficiaries. Because I know you're going to be rolling on an axle in your grave when you see that your ex-wife, who, you know, you may not even like them anymore. Y'all may not have kids together or anything. You know what I mean? But if she getting all your money, or your ex-husband getting all your money and out there having a good time going on a Carnival cruise ride and, you know, just celebrating your death. You know, meanwhile, your current spouse and your current kids, they beside themselves with grief, and they ain't got no money. So it's important to update your beneficiary.
Absolutely. And to piggyback on that, Michelle, what happens if they don't have a will?
Oh, my goodness. Well, if you do not have a will, the Commonwealth or whatever state that you reside in they get to decide how your estate will be distributed. They get to decide. Instead of you getting to decide where you want that heirloom Bible to go, the Commonwealth decides who gets heirloom Bible. Your assets will very likely be taxed at a higher rate, very likely. Your family will be unsure of how you wanted your estate distributed, which may lead to conflict. And we, Francis, we already talked about that, right? It's a huge conflict. Families have broken down and not spoken to each other for years because of fighting over property, fighting over money, fighting over heirlooms. You know, it just causes so much pain. Your family is already in pain for losing their loved one. And then we compound that pain with the pain of the infighting because we didn't make the decisions while we were alive. And my whole feeling is this. They might not like what I said, but I ain't here no more. So who they gonna complain to? They ain't going to complain to me because I'm not here. So it's what I said. I said what I said, right? It don't even matter. I'm not even here for them to argue anymore. Plus, as your ancestor, I'm going to come back and slap you upside the head if you give too much grief, right? So and the last thing is your end-of-life decisions may not be carried out to your wishes. So you've got to have a well-crafted estate plan, and you need to appoint successor fiduciaries just in case the originally named person or people are unable or unwilling to serve in that capacity. Because I'm going to tell you now, it's a lot of responsibility. Don't think that it's easy. It's a lot of responsibility to serve as an executor or a trustee or agent for someone else's estate. So you have to be sure that that person is responsible and that they're willing, able, and are ready to serve in that capacity, because it's a lot of work and it's a lot of headache. At the end of the day, it needs to be done. So you need to pick somebody strong that loves you and will do the right thing by you as you intended for it to be.
Absolutely great. Kevin, our listeners are capable of taking care of these documents on their own through services like LegalZoom and other online apps. What advice would you give them, or suggestion? Not, we don't want to give advice, but what suggestion would you give someone who's looking to go this route?
Well, if you have a very simple estate plan, you might be able to handle it by yourself. If you're 20 years old and your only assets are a 10-year-old used car that you've been driving for the last 4 years and you have $2,000 in the bank and that's it, you might be able to handle these documents on your own. As if you're on the other end of the spectrum, you have multi-million dollars in property in multiple states, then you definitely want to sit down with an estate planning attorney to make sure that all of the T's are crossed, all the I's are dotted, all the responses are double-checked, so that your wishes are communicated and what you want to happen once you're gone is going to happen. So there's a wide range of wiggle room there, from the most simplest to something that's much more complex. And there are plenty of organizations that will fall in between that range that can help you out. One of them is Legal Shield. They're a very good company as well. LegalZoom, if you're going to try to do the documents on your own. But I would say the more complex your estate is, then you need to get on and sit down with an estate planning attorney. If you're not sure and you're doing your due diligence, Googling and looking online, you still can't figure out whether or not what you have needs to be addressed or handled in a certain way, my advice is you get on and sit down with an attorney and talk to them and let them make sure that you understand what all the different options are. Because like Michelle alluded to, very first question, there are lots of different documents. There are lots of different types of trusts. They are handled differently when it comes to taxes, whether things go through probate, they don't go through probate. And you want to make sure you're not making a mistake with any of that. So as you start accumulating more assets throughout the course of your life, or you just have an asset that's more and more precious to you, like that Bible, or, you know, that watch that's been passed down from grandfather to grandson for generations, and you want to make sure that watch gets passed along the way you want it to be, those things are extremely important to you. You want to make sure you sit down with a professional and you get proper advice so that what you want to happen happens. Michelle has said it many times over. You want to make sure that what you want to happen happens once you're gone.
Great stuff. Well, guys, this is the end of another great show. I have to give a shout-out to Veronica McMillan, my producer and partner in crime for the Issues Concerning Women radio show, who hosts this show. So we're on every Thursday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Michelle Ewing, Kevin Green, thank you
yes.
so much. We'll see you guys next week on Finances with Francine and Friends. Bye-bye now.
Thank you for having
Thanks,
us, Francine.
Have a good night.